Well, in case you can't tell, I've got just a bit of a frog in my throat. I've been sick for a better part of a week now. But I've got a video for you this week anyway. Now, I uploaded this on my other channel about a month and a half ago, and it's caused Dave Farina to run and hide from me, Professor Dave explains. He's off in a corner somewhere, hoping that I don't talk about him anymore. He's afraid to debate me now. He used to, as soon as I'd comment on one of his videos, he'd be like, brr, immediately. I mean, he'd be sitting on a toilet or at a bar or whatever the hell it is that he does. He'd start pressing buttons immediately and reply. Ever since this video came out, he's hiding. He won't even talk to me now. I've issued a challenge to him through a very popular media format, outlet. I've been on there before, and they do debates. If you think about it, you'll probably be aware. Dave's been on there before too. He hasn't responded yet. He's responded to them apparently, but not to me. Even though I've emailed the man, I've made videos saying it, I've commented on his stuff, he's hiding. So instead of just leaving this on my second channel where it only gets a few thousand views, let's bring it to my main channel, let it spread far and wide. So please, if you would, watch this in its entirety, share it with somebody, comment, do all the crap that YouTubers like and subscribe, all the stuff that will help this do better in the algorithm, which does include watching chunks of it. So like you're playing video games, set your phone down watching this and let it run if you want. All the things to make the numbers go up, because I really would like Mr. Farina to see that, well, you don't get to hide from debates like this. You don't get to go and slap people in the face with the gauntlet, and then when they're like, okay, I accept, then be like, wah, 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 wah. I mean, you can if you want, but then this happens. And for those of you who think that he's a waste of time, that he's pointless, this is all stupid. I have to say, I understand that to you already see through him. You see, and that's great. But you also have to understand that a lot of other people don't, and that we don't live in a vacuum. Our quests for more information and for the truth isn't in a vacuum. Dave Farina's face was recently on Times Square, for fuck's sake, okay? The man has some reach. The man has some influence. Now, if you want to say that you think that this is a waste of my time, that's fine. But the reality of it is, there's a lot of artifacts that we can't access, a lot of books we can't access, a lot of places we're not even allowed to film because of people like Dave Farina throwing rocks at us and demonizing us. So in my mind, proving that he is the liar here and that he's actually the peddler of pseudo, not me, that's kind of a big deal, because it doesn't just apply to me. It applies to Graham Hancock and Jimmy Corsetti and Ben Van Kirkwick and everybody else as well. Everybody that he goes to debunk, Dave Farina seems to lie about. This is important. Very, very important. And you might not agree, and that is fine. But I do. I think that this needs done. So again, please, you know, whatever you feel appropriate, share this video with your mom. Let it run while you're playing Fortnite or Valorant, or, you know, if your Professor Dave explains Fall Guys. And, you know, enjoy the video. Thanks so much for bearing with me this week. Now, since my first response video to Professor Dave, I have not put a lot of energy into replying to him. He's just angry and ignorant. And when it comes to archaeology, he's basically pointless. However, my not responding to a lot of his secondary points made a lot of people think that I was like a tacit admission that he was got me or something. So since his followers have the attention span of gnats, I'm going to go through this one topic at a time. And the first one will be Dave Farina doesn't know the first damn thing about radiocarbon dating as it applies to Egyptology or archaeology, or maybe he doesn't understand math, or maybe he can't read good, or maybe he's dishonest, or maybe it's all of the above. Yeah, it's all of the above. And his followers lap it up like their freaking queso does cheese whiz. This is the most ridiculous thing that, anyway, I'll waste some time on this. Here we go. Let's talk about Dave Farina's brilliance. Do you know why you're lonely? It's 'cause you're fat. And Dave. Well, let's get right into it. Here's some clips from Dave trying to climb out of the GIMP box after I shoved him into it with my first response video to him.
This is science, and archaeologists are scientists who follow a rigid empirical methodology.
No, that's not how archaeology works. They play fast and loose with the facts. But I'll bring receipts so we don't have to argue about it.
You don't have any receipts, dumbass. You just sell a pathetic story about how every single archaeologist in the world is a lying fraud to brainwash people into ignoring the fact that you're a lying fraud. Flat earthers pretend that every astronomer in the world is a lying fraud, too. You're no different than a flat earther.
No evidence at all, but we do have proof that Dave doesn't get basic logic. There was this guy named Bertrand Russell, and he had a thought experiment called Russell's Teapot, where if I was to posit, hey, there's a teapot in orbit around Jupiter, but I have no evidence for it, you can be rightfully understood in dismissing my claim or ignoring it, even if you don't have evidence to prove me wrong. This is something that you see a lot in the atheist circles, and I'm quite certain that Dave has seen this on a TikTok or something sometime while he's eating his freaking mukbangs or whatever the heck it is that's got him on his whole Nikado avocado arc. Now, the difference between believing in a flat earth, where we have solid evidence to the contrary, and believing in something like Atlantis, for example, is the difference between denying evidence and believing there's no evidence to prove or disprove. But Dave isn't talking about Atlantis. Oh, no, no. He's talking about my position that says archaeology isn't function as a proper science. And that I have evidence for. We have the Clovis first thing. We also have the Folsom first debacle, which was basically the same thing as Clovis first, but it happened a few decades prior. We have the way that Easter Island was said to have not been possibly in contact with South America. And recently that's been proven to be wrong. I can show you the way that this has been consistent. Anybody on the outliers of archaeology is treated with extreme hostility, more so than other fields even. And again, I have evidence for this. You can look at the way that Graham Hancock's treated, Randall Carlson's treated, Jimmy Corsetti's treated, Ben Van Kirkwick's treated, my dumbass is treated. Or we can just, you know, talk about... Let's just show how ignorant and dishonest our boy Davey is. Later in the video, Professor Dave highlights the carbon dating of the Great Pyramid and the other 4th Dynasty edifices. He puts it on the screen, and he uses the data gathered by the late 90s expeditions financed by David Koch. Now, this expedition and the other expedition financed by the Edgar Cayce Foundation about a decade earlier both show the entire 4th Dynasty to be carbon dated between 150 to 250 years older than the written records state that they are. But the written records of ancient Egypt, the King's List, this is considered to be some of the most robust written records that we have of those times. So how do they reconcile this? Well, what they do is they assert, without evidence, that, you know, there was some old wood that the Egyptians, for the entire 4th Dynasty, they just gathered old wood, and that's what they used. And they had a big burn, maybe, and used that to get the ash for all of the mortar that they made for the next entire dynasty. And so you'd assume they have a burn pit or some writing saying that that's not it at all. There is no rigorous freaking empirical shit going on here. All there is these guys have a book and hard data that disagrees with that book.
Oh, goody. The idiot has made an actual empirical claim. Now we get to show how dumb he is with real science.
Sorry, I had to leave that in for context. Let's see how dumb I am.
Now, in case you weren't familiar with anything he just said, don't worry, most people aren't, especially his idiot followers. So let's get some background information covered. In 2001, Bonanni et al. Published radiocarbon dates from the pyramids at Giza, and those dates proposed a time frame that was a few hundred years earlier than archaeologists expected, based on their assumed calibration of historical king lists. Dan calls these king lists the most robust written records that we have of those times. This alone is enough to disqualify Dan as a complete moron with zero knowledge of archaeology. These lists aren't immaculate compilations with precise dates and lengths of rule. They're all fragmentary, requiring calibration of their discrepancies and overlaps with one another, and with other evidence like inscriptions on monuments and astronomical observations. They're not robust at all. He just blindly asserts that they are. In reality, historians are forced to make assumptions about how long rains are and extrapolate back from well-attested historical historical periods in the first millennium BCE. The further back you go, the more uncertainty there is with the assumed dates. Dan has never seen these lists or any other archaeological artifact. He can't read them. He can't interpret them. He hasn't even read literature from professionals interpreting them. He just calls them robust for no reason and then moves on to the next lie. This is all he does.
First of all, most of my followers are aware of this stuff. They're into Egyptology and archaeology, and I go out of my way to talk about science in most of my videos. So, anyway, most of my followers do get this. It's your followers that needed the, you know, dumbed down explanation. I already can assume that my followers understood most of this stuff. But at any rate, you zeroed in on me saying the word King's List, but I did say written records. And of course, these require all kinds of different things, but they're known colloquially as written records. You can call it the chronological timeline, but the thing is that implies carbon dating mixed in there. There's a time before carbon dating and a current time after carbon dating when it comes to archaeology, Dave. If you would just put down your freaking chopsticks for 1 minute, you would see this, okay? Egypt requires several avenues of evidence to determine anything because the written records themselves were changed by different rulers over the years, and some of the king's lists were even thought to be the practice papyri for apprentice scribes. And these include inaccuracies because the focus was on learning different characters and different manners of writing, not the actual proper list. Anybody who's into this stuff really knows these kinds of things already. Most of my followers know these things already. But you're out of your depth here, Dave. You're so far out of your depth here that you don't even get the sentiment of one of the papers that talks about this, about carbon dating. It's like part of the research of doing this. In the 2016 paper titled Radiocarbon Dating and Egyptian Chronology, From the Curve of Knowns to the Bayesian Modeling, I didn't read the following. The historical chronology of Egypt is basically an interpretation of a complicated network of interlocked data, such as King's List, genealogical information, astronomical observations, and similar sources. Absolute calendar dates are mainly derived from so-called dead reckoning, calculated reign lengths backwards from an assumed fixed point in time, or from astronomical observations, such as Suthic or lunar data. Note the King's List is the top reference they cite. And a short bit later, they continue, for a long time, the Egyptian historical chronology was the sole chronological reference system not only for the Nile Valley itself, but also for the Bronze and Iron Age Eastern Mediterranean Basin. It was indeed the backbone of history, especially during the second and much of the first millennium BC. Before the advent of radiocarbon dating, absolute dates for the local relative chronological sequence of the southern and central Levant were heavily dependent on the Egyptian historical chronology, and also the relative chronological sequences for Middle and Late Bronze Age Cyprus were linked to the historical chronology of the Nile Valley. Even much of the Aegean Bronze Age chronology was linked to, and dated via, the Egyptian historical chronology. Now, do you see how important that was? Not only was the written record the backbone of them actually making the chronology, that is the backbone of ancient history in that region, which means revamping, it's not exactly something they're going to be too hot to trot to do. But you've also got the fact that the 1949 radiocarbon testing was done in Egypt as well as a few other places because of exactly this, the robustness of those written records, including the King's List, but not limited to the King's List. There's a whole lot of other things involved, but the King's List is the backbone of the backbone of ancient history in the entire freaking Bronze Age. If you spent some time reading the papers associated with the topic you are discussing, instead of looking up insults on ChatGPT, you would be able to, I don't know, keep up with this conversation. Instead, you accuse me of not reading the papers, and that is laughable. Absolutely laughable.
But it gets much worse. Here's that Bonani paper from 2001 that presented and explained the discrepancy between radiocarbon dates and historical dates for the pyramids. As you can see, they very clearly suggested that old wood was burnt to create the mortar for the pyramids, which left the charcoal that was dated. Radiocarbon dating returns the date that organic material was alive, which stops being the case when a tree is chopped down. Wood from trees can be used and reused. You probably have a wooden chair in your house right now, now that's been a chair and not a tree for a very long time. Furthermore, the interior of a tree trunk might be centuries older than the exterior, and this shows up in the dating. So the very obvious conclusion is that the wood used in the construction of the pyramid is a bit older than the pyramid. Did it return a date for the wood that is younger than the pyramid? No. Did it return a date that is several thousand years older than the pyramid? No. About 200 years, which is perfectly in line with normal tree growth and repeated wood usage.
Oh, the old wood hypothesis. Oh man, if only I had thought of that. So how do they reconcile this? Well, what they do is they assert, without evidence, that, you know, there was some old wood that the Egyptians, for the entire fourth dynasty, they just gathered old wood and that's what they used. Look, you chunky little commie Cartman, you don't seem to understand this here. The entire fourth dynasty, that it's ubiquitous, okay? And that means everywhere, kind of like your tummy. It's everywhere, okay? So all the fourth dynasty, the end of the third dynasty, the beginning of the fifth dynasty, there is a variation between the carbon dating and the written record. And it goes like this, because the 7th, 8th, 9th, 6th dynasty, 1st and 2nd dynasty, they don't have this problem. There's a small disparities, but nothing like this. What you're doing here is basically ignoring what we actually see as a problem. It's like, oh, they're using old wood, but they just used it for, you know, 100 years or so. They didn't do that before or after that. This is ridiculous, okay? This is during the richest time in Egyptian history, when we know for a fact, we have written records of them importing wood from Lebanon, you're going to tell me that they were using the most old wood. This is absurd, okay? This comes from you not doing any freaking research. Instead, you just sit around and talk crap. No matter what you claim, Dave, the Egyptologists recognized this was a problem, which is why they had the Oxford Project in 2010, which used several methods to reconcile this discrepancy. A discrepancy that you dismiss because, well, you're out of your depth here, you're ignorant. When it comes to this arena, all you can do is puff up that chest and squawk.
Not only is this so mind-numbingly obvious of a conclusion to make, but it's also well known to archaeologists, who are indeed more rigidly empirical than idiots like Dan can even comprehend. That's why they prefer to use short-lived species for radiocarbon dates, such as animal remains or seeds from annual plants, rather than long-lived wood that might be reused, as it allows for greater precision in dating.
Yes, it's well known, and it is obvious, but again, we have it throughout the entire fourth dynasty, the entire end of the third dynasty, the entire beginning of the fifth dynasty. It's not like in one or two places. It's not. This statistically becomes very unlikely, Dave. This is like your 9/11 conspiracies that require 3,000 people to have all gotten together. At some point, this gets ridiculous. The idea of over a dozen sites having their dates all similarly problematic with old wood, but the ones before and the ones after not having that, my friend, it's just too fucking bad that you didn't bother to read anything, man. You read like one or two papers here and you just skimmed those and you didn't even seem to understand what you fucking read, as we will see.
Does it get even worse than that for Dan? Of course it does. Here's another paper from 2009, reanalysis of the chronological discrepancies obtained by the Old and Middle Kingdom monuments. Gee, do you think there's some newer data in here that Dan is ignoring? You bet there is.
I mean, this is so funny. This is like, if I ever want to bully the stupid kid to kind of, you know, get some nostalgia from when I was younger, I know exactly who to hunt up. I mean, this is ridiculous. Does he even know what data means? Does he even know what empirical means? Does he even know what he's talking about here? Let's find out. Spoiler alert.
As you can see, they recalibrated Bonanni's radiocarbon dates using a different statistical approach to prioritize samples from short-lived species rather than long-lived trees.
No, Pizza the Slut, that's not what the paper says. You have to read more than four words in order to figure that out, and I know that most of your followers can't read more than 12 at a time anyway, but I'm gonna make you listen, okay? So pay attention, Skippy, so we can get the context of what they're talking about in that paper that you brought up. The question remains as to how the data should be summarized, given they clearly reflect a range of carbon 14 ages. It is obvious, however, that any averaging of the data sets would just provide an estimate of the midpoint of the measurements, which would continue to be non-systematically offset to older ages by the factors listed above. One potentially attractive avenue is to use Bayesian modeling to estimate a nominated date or event. For this analysis, the completion date of construction was deemed the most suitable parameter. Unlike the beginning or midpoints, this boundary was more likely to be static and unaffected by inbuilt age. In real terms, it should represent the point at which short-lived, non-stockpiled, or recycled material was included on the last day of construction. What they did was use their Bayesian modeling and inserted as prior information the completion date of these edifices. The completion date, which is the latest possible date. So already they're skewing it as far possible as they can away from those older dates, because Bayesian methodology, you're talking about a freaking mathematical equation. And as we'll talk about in a minute, the prior information is actually a pretty important part of that whole thing. But the deal here is that they're not doing this in order to pinpoint seeds or something like that. They're assuming that that might be the case. But if you've ever worked construction, you probably know that by the end of the job, there's a really high probability of having a lot of stockpiled materials around. That's when you're going to burn up the last of the stuff. The odds, there's just arbitrary idea that, oh yeah, by the way, there's just going to be seeds at the end of it. That's completely arbitrary. There's no reasoning behind that.
And would you look at that? They match quite a bit better with the historical and archaeological timelines. So it sounds like it was simply a matter of getting some initial data, and then over only a few years, refining our methods to get better data, which corroborates the other knowledge we have. It's almost like it's a perfect example of how empirical science works, something Dan knows precisely dick about, and just talks out of his ass on the internet to trick gullible idiots into ignoring.
Really? Empirical science? You think that's what it means? You think this is empirical science? Do you know anything about Bayesian inference? Right? No. Okay. Put down the mobile scooter catalog. You'll have plenty of time next month to get one. What you need to do right now is just pay attention. Okay? We're gonna learn something here, Davey. Bayesian inference is a method of statistics that uses new data to, in a perfect world, constantly update a hypothesis. Now, in reality, of course, it's limited by time and funding and other constraints, but the idea is you take a hypothesis, determine what you know about it already, how certain you are of what you know, and then you use new data and an equation to determine how accurate your original assumptions were. The knowledge that you believe to be true out the gate is called prior information, and this is to be modified by the data. Now, in the case of carbon dating, prior information can be all manner of things, including dendrochronology, stratigraphy, or even written records. And in the case of this paper, they used written records and gave them a high degree of certainty. This will skew the result bad enough, but in addition to this, they eliminated any samples that didn't correspond with known Faroe rains. So what they did was they prioritized the latest dates for each one of these edifices, and they removed any samples that had dates that didn't align with a known Egyptian king. This basically, before they even did the math, they had already removed all of the outliers and favored everything towards one extreme. This is creationist crap, just like I said to begin with, Dave. These guys are trying to explain away the problem. And this is particularly problematic when the whole reason that the expedition to the Giza Plateau was originally launched to carbon date all that crap was because the Edgar Cayce Foundation believed that there was a disparity in the dates. So when you guys say, hey man, why doesn't Graham Hancock use his kajillions of dollars and buy a submarine and take all these people down to check all these different things out and hire archaeologists to come with him? Well, dude, when guys like him do pay for things like that, you guys just skew the data. You fudge it. It gets explained away. And then boneheads like you come out there and don't even know what the hell you're talking about and say, oh, look at this. This is empirical. Now, really quickly, Dave, if you have the idea that maybe the pyramids took longer than 20 years to build, something that big, yeah, it's quite possible, right? How about this? We know the Egyptians liked to delete problematic rulers from time to time. we know that the first ruler of the fourth dynasty, Sneferu, has three pyramids. They're big ones, and they're all built, you know, tombs and tombs alone, right, Dave? That's what pyramids are for. So, how about the possibility that maybe they deleted some rulers there, and Sneferu hijacked a couple of pyramids under his own name to help obfuscate those rulers, and this is why you have a problem in the timeline that crops up at the end of the Third Dynasty and runs for about 100 or so years and then goes away. Maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, this is the kind of hypothesis that some guy who doesn't read anything, who doesn't pay any attention to anything, who didn't buy magazines like this when he was 15 years old, you know, that's the kind of, you know, just ignorance, just, you know, just crap. Just what did you call me that one time? Because that was kind of funny. Did you call me a Sasquatch taint? that was pretty funny. Okay, so I know some other people who reject hard data in favor of what's written in a book. Would that rigorous scientific empirical? Dave, insult. Insert your insult thingy here. I'm not going to bother.
Yes, I will gladly insult you, because you deserve it. You're the moron ignoring all the data I just showed you in favor of the shitty books that frauds like Graham publish.
Really? Because it seems to me like you didn't even understand what you were posting. Like, you just basically talk a lot of crap, and you mislead a lot of people. A lot of your followers show up saying things that are factually inaccurate about this paper. A lot of the other things, too, but they just don't know what they're talking about. When they get information from you, Dave, they walk away without knowing anything. And it's amazing. To be honest with you, it's amazing because Ken Ham spent millions of dollars to do what you do while you eat Doritos. Thanks so much for bearing with me this week. I'm working on another video on the cocaine mummies, and that will be out hopefully next week. It's also got an attached response video to David Miano, which will go on my second channel as normal. But until Professor Dave explains, replies to me, I'm going to keep doing this. On my main channel, I will have some of the rocks that I throw at him, because the fact of the matter is, the man needs to either put up or shut up. Thank you very much for watching. There's links to support the channel down below. I'm going to be in Sedona, Arizona. You know you want to be there. May 1st through 3rd. Tickets are available down below. Thanks so much, and I hope to see you next time.